the story of D-Daymon. It's a great story because it fits this particular, I think anyway, one of the designations of great stories. And it is, it's a love story set up against great human tragedy. Mm-hmm. And the great human tragedy is, of course, the Second World War. And they're in love and they lose. So it's Romeo and Juliet, you know. On the other hand, she withholds her, or holds on to her basic faith in humanity and faith in God as well, that carry her through and all that sort of stuff.
The Dutch general had little choice. To save the lives of innocent civilians, he accepted the German terms. But after the unconditional surrender, the Nazis bombed the city anyway.
1940, you know, basically what happened is that the Nazis came in and wiped out Holland in a matter of 3 days and really put the clincher on when they bombed Rotterdam and just annihilated the city. They occupied Holland, and no one really knew exactly what that was going to be, but the systematic means by which the Nazis simply created their occupying force made it very clear in just a little while that there was going to be a problem with Jews. And the Jewish people of the Netherlands knew that ahead of time. There was a significant number of Jewish people who were living in Holland who had already left Germany in 1933 at Kristallnacht, or later at night Kristallnacht, and understood that this was part of the pattern. Mm-hmm. So it didn't take long, and certain people, and it just so happens that her boyfriend had read Mein Kampf, and her boyfriend sort of said to her, "This is not good. We're going to be faced with moral questions that are not going to run away from us. And we have to start thinking about it." And then her friend, who she worked with at the bank, was Jewish. And he was told, "You report to the city park with one suitcase at 2 o'clock in the morning." I'm not quoting her now, but it was to that effect. And he knew that it meant a kind of deportation. He didn't really know exactly what it meant. So he said to her, "Should I go?" And then she came back to her boyfriend and said, "You know, how can we let this happen?" And he said, "Well, my father, you know, lives up in this, in terms of this world, you know, lives up in Sioux County up there by a bunch of farmers. And I know good people up there, and good people will take some of these people." Of course, they thought the war would last 6 weeks, and that's all. Mm-hmm. So their job became taking Jewish people out of the city of Den Haag, the Hague, and bringing them to rural outlying areas where they were hidden then, and for the rest of the war, for, you know, 4 years.
Could I actually have you read that part?
"So I went to Hein, my fiancé, and I asked him what could be done, and Hein said he could hide Herman out in the country in the Veluwe, where his father was the headmaster at a small Christian school in Hoek, Gelderland. There were all farmers around there, all Christian people, and they would certainly hide Herman. We thought the war would last only a year or so, no more. We thought that certainly Roosevelt would come in and end all of this. After all, it was the 20th century, and this man Hitler, this little maniac, was a barbarian. Oh, Diet, this is not the Dark Ages. We live in the modern age." And then Diet says, "Well, shall we then?" And Hein says, "Well, I can find him a place. That's no problem." "It's very risky, Diet, if we don't, when this is all over, you and I will not be able to look at each other in the face for what we didn't do."
One of the things that stuck out to me in reading that was that idea that we live in modern times, and surely Roosevelt will come in and stop that. And I've never heard somebody just come out right and say, "Oh, this is a modern time that we live in. There's no way this little maniac can get away with this." It takes the theater out of the life that they were living. To me, it's not at all looking back. It's they're fully looking forward and thinking the world is going to get better.
You know, adjectives, you sort of lose adjectives in any talk of the Holocaust because nothing quite works. But some of the most fascinating stories come out of people who were, in fact, hiding Jewish people up in the country. Because basically, you know, if you follow the old Mark Twain dictum of fish and guests both stink after 3 days, to think of these people, many times incredibly sophisticated, well-educated Jewish people from the city living out in the manure, so to speak, in the middle of rural areas, and then always hiding because mm-hmm. they couldn't come out. They had to do everything they could to cover the fact that there were people even in the house, mm-hmm. but they were there for 4 years. And sometimes simply the personality differences themselves had to be negotiated because there was no way out. They couldn't just say, well, I'm going to put you on the road. Mm-hmm. You know, that couldn't happen. So they had to sort of figure out a way of coexisting. And mm-hmm. those are terribly interesting stories in terms of this, the human dynamics of the way in which we get along with other people.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And just under such conditions, under the pressures conditions. Outside the yeah. house.
Mm-hmm. And could the kids know? That was mm-hmm. always a big question. You know, how old the kids have to be before they get to understand that we actually have a guest or two or three. Because little kids are going to go tell other little kids, well, we have people in our house. And that many times mm-hmm. then the jig was up.
The other moment in what you read that struck me as a new thought for me was how the movement developed. I mean, these people weren't necessarily part of a movement until suddenly they were, and they had to find the other people that were sympathetic to their ideas. Yeah. I mean,
that's where the title comes from, actually. You know, I'm writing this whole book or piecing together the stories that she tells, and all of a sudden it struck me that there was so many things they couldn't say that they, and if I'm, can I just tell you an anecdote that's not even in the play? So what happens in one of them, for instance, is this Deep goes, she discovers that there's three little girls, little Jewish girls, and they need a place. And it's late in the war, and it's hard to find places anymore. So she goes to the house of a clergyman, of a Protestant clergyman, a Dutch Reformed clergyman, as a matter of fact, walks up to the door, and she knew that he would be sympathetic enough not to turn her in. So she says to him, you know, I've got these three darling little, I don't know if she said darling, we've got these three little girls, and I don't have a place for them. You've got to take them in. And he says, no. And she said, what, you know, look at them, purely innocent, and you can't take them? And he said, no, I can't take them. And it went on and on for a while. And it's one of the few times that I remember she said, I swore at him, you know, what is wrong with you? You know, don't you have a heart? And finally walked away, and it wouldn't take. Well, after the war, what she discovered was that he already had a whole house full of Jews, and he couldn't tell her, you know, because essentially, in many cases, when you operated in the underground like that, there were things you didn't want to know, because the things that you did know would put your life into more jeopardy, into more stark, tragic sort of positions. So, you know, you wouldn't say. There were so many things that couldn't be said.
Well, you wrote this play after all of these interviews, and it's been presented. It toured nationally, and now it's coming back to Orange City.
A lot of people have read this story. It's, you know, it's been it's in circulation yet. You can go to Amazon and still buy the book. And people also remember the play from 20 years ago. I hope it's not presumptive of me to say it works because the story is so good. The story mm-hmm. is, you know, love against the backdrop of great human tragedy and sadness, and it works.
I've been talking with Dr. James Skop, the author of Things We Couldn't Say. A production of this Reader's Theatre play will take place this Friday and Saturday in Orange City's Knight Center. Curtain time is 7:30 p.m. You can find out more at orangecityiowa.com. For Siouxland Public Media, I'm Mark Munger.